here on KGYM. Kirk Ferentz meeting the media in Iowa City. That and a whole lot more coming up on a Tuesday edition of the Gym Class right here on KGYM. We are presented by Third Base Brewery at the corner of Blair's Ferry Road and C Avenue Northeast in Cedar Rapids. It is a Gym Class coming your way, taking you through the 3 o'clock hour here on KGYM. 1600 AM, 107.5 FM in Cedar Rapids, and in Iowa City at 106.3 FM. Scott Unash, Mark Dukes, Kyle Mann, fresh back from Iowa City. Kirk Ferentz and players meeting with the media as Iowa gets ready for the trip to Ryan Field to take on the Northwestern Wildcats on Saturday. We'll have the Before the Boom pregame show coming your way at 9 o'clock, just past 11 o'clock with that kickoff this Saturday from Evanston. Also, Matt Campbell meeting the media in Ames today. Iowa State getting ready for homecoming 2019 as the Cyclones will welcome in Mr. Gundy and the Oklahoma State Cowboys. As that should be a very interesting game coming up on Saturday over in Ames. We'll have it for you 12:30 with the pregame and 2:35 with the kickoff. That will be on the main gym, 1600 a.m. this Saturday. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. And it looks like highlights from the respective news conferences in Iowa City. Brandon Smith, the Iowa wide receiver who had really separated himself from the rest of the receivers on the team and emerged as one of the top pass catchers in the Big Ten. Looks like he's going to be out 3 to 5 weeks. That will take him past the Wisconsin game, if that is indeed the case. And it appears Christian Welch, linebacker, will be out once again this week against Northwestern. Good news in Ames, Orion Vance, Cedar Rapids Washington product, is back in practice, and he looks probable for this week's game against Oklahoma State.
Very good. Yeah, Brandon Smith, it's not a break, but it's progressed negatively over the last week or so. Well, since Saturday, obviously, and into this week. And he is not going to play, not on the two deep. Tyrone Tracy now is number one at that position. What does this mean for the wide receiver core? What does this mean for Oliver Martin, who is not playing that X position from what Kirk Ferentz was talking about? So are we going to see more of Oliver Martin? We'll see. Receivers know both positions. That's a given. And if Martin's going to be the guy to step in there as that fourth receiver, I think that it probably should be, but maybe the only people that know are at practice in Iowa City, and they're not fully disclosing at this present time.
We'll still have Tracy and Amir Smith-Marset. Martin, I would think, would be in the mix.
Reganey.
Nico Reganey has become a very reliable possession receiver. It's a loss. There's no question about that, because Brandon Smith had just made, you know, terrific catch against Penn State. Had maybe his best game last week in that victory over Purdue. So while it is a loss, I think Iowa's wide receiver position is deeper than it has been in quite some time.
I would agree. As I mentioned, we are presented by Third Base Brewery here today on the Gym Class. And if you would like to get in touch with us, we'd love to hear from you out there. 319-366-1600. 319-366-1600. That is the Hurtin & Stocker Jewelers text line. And Hurtin & Stocker Jewelers is, of course, located on the Ped Mall in downtown Iowa City. We will talk about Iowa Northwestern, as we mentioned, coming up in about 10 minutes. Noah Kaufman is going to join us, who covers Northwestern for Inside NU, part of SB Nation. We'll do that. Cal Eldred will join us as well coming up. I wanted to get to this yesterday. We had so much on the plate with getting to football and getting to baseball and getting to the basketball news. We did not get to it yesterday. But condolences going out to the Riley family. Up in Dubuque, as Charlie Linebacker passed away. Actually, I think it was Friday night. It was announced on Saturday. Former Iowa All-Big Ten linebacker. Former radio color commentator on one of the Hawkeye networks Used to work with the great Ron Gonder. And to be honest with you, I don't think there was a more perfect duo that covered football and had more fun yet did a great job in the booth that I've ever heard than Ron and Charlie Linebacker did throughout their years. And he will be missed.
He was a lot of fun. And it was a pleasure to get to know him. Occasionally, I had Ron Gonder at a Wednesday night show that he invited me on several times. And while Riley wasn't on that show, there's a lot of stories about Mike. Of course, a terrific player at Iowa and went on to the Chicago Bears.
And Suns also played.
Right.
Out of Dubuque-Willard and played for Iowa.
Just a delight to be around. He really was. And I agree with you. That team of Gonder and Riley, if you listen to them, they were a lot of fun.
They've had some beauties in the past. One having to do with Tom Grogan. We will not go into any more of that. If you want to know more about it and you don't know about it, you can probably find it.
Riley didn't mince words too much.
No, he did not. It was a different type of, you know, you didn't have Twitter. You didn't have the internet back then. But, yeah, if Iowa was stinking up the joint, he'd tell you Iowa was stinking up the joint. Mm-hmm. But he'd do it in a very matter-of-fact type of way. And if they're playing well, he'd tell you they're playing well. And like I said, I think they were just absolutely the perfect duo as far as covering football that I have ever heard. One knew when the other one was going to say something, and they'd let them have their piece. Mm-hmm. And it was just a really, really good booth up there. So Mike Riley will be missed. Mike Riley will definitely be missed out there by everybody around Eastern Iowa. And then today we lost Willie Brown, NFL Hall of Famer at the age of 78, the former Oakland Raider, and just a terrific player going back many, many years with the John Madden Raiders and even prior to that a little bit. And, of course, I think he was immortalized by, I think, the clip of him running the football in the Super Bowl with the close-up, that is Willie Brown, by the way, and I think he will forever be known for that as well. But just a terrific defensive back and, like I said, a Hall of Famer out there. And even though he was a Raider, I had a lot of respect for Willie Brown out there. Part of a terrific defensive backfield that Oakland had for many, many years.
Jack Tatum.
Jack the Assassin was back there as well, playing with him. But he passes away today, NFL Hall of Famer Willie Brown at the age of 78. 11 minutes past the hour of 3 o'clock. As I mentioned, we're going to talk with Noah Kauffman coming up in a little bit. Game one of the World Series tonight, Mark. The Washington Nationals and the Houston Astros. And we'll have it for you. Game one tonight. We'll join up with ESPN's coverage at 7 o'clock, about 7:10 or thereabouts with the first pitch tonight.
There have been some classic starting pitching matchups in World Series history. Of course, the history goes back a long, long ways, so you can't really say these are the best matchups to ever come down the pike, but it has to rival the first three games anyway. You've got 20-game winners, Cy Young Award winners on both sides. It's going to be really fun to watch. But this day and age, I mean, is anybody going to go past six innings?
Well,
they're certainly capable.
They're capable, but boy, oh boy. And even when a pitcher is just dealing. I mean, Scherzer and Cole going at it tonight. And like I said, these pitching matchups that we're going to see in the World Series are pretty formidable out there. Now, Scherzer, we'll see, has had both these guys have had great runs in the postseason. Scherzer tends to, a lot of people say, and we'll ask Cal Eldred this, he gets a little bit pumped up, and sometimes that ball doesn't do what it's supposed to do. I can't blame the guy. It's the World Series. It's the postseason. You're going to get pumped up out there. Houston is a heavy favorite in this series, but I'm not so sure. Not saying that Washington's going to win this thing. We'll give our predictions with Cal coming up in a little bit when we talk with him, but I don't think this thing is going to be cut and dry for the Houston Astros. We'll see.
We have the team that is experienced the World Series, and that is the Houston Astros and the team that perhaps is hotter, that being the Washington Nationals, that the team itself has not been in the World Series. There are players on the team that have, but you have that dichotomy, and you're always going to have the DH situation in the American League Park, where it's in, National League Park it's not. You know, what about the starting lineups? What about the bullpens? A lot of things to go over with Cal.
Yeah, a lot of things to go over. And Cal is going to be joining us, by the way, from Arizona.
Oh, where instructional league?
Where it's much warmer. Yes, they got fall baseball wrapping up, instructional leagues wrapping up, and he is down there with his Kansas City Royals. Or future Kansas City Royals.
Yeah, chance for you to weigh in on the World Series at KGYMRadio.com. Our poll question brought to you by Emil's Hideaway. Who wins the World Series? Will it be Houston in four or five games? The Nationals in four or five games? Or one of those two teams in six or seven? Four choices out there. Go ahead and vote KGYMRadio.com. And thanks, as always, to Emil's Hideaway. First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids, next to Home Depot, and behind Taco John's.
Yeah, we'll give our predictions coming up when we talk with Cal, but I think it's going to be a fun World Series, and we'll have Game 1 tonight, Game 2 tomorrow from Minute Maid Park in Houston, where there was a little kerfuffle last night. you haven't heard, but that's an off-the-field baseball issue, but we'll see if it... I don't think it's going to make its way onto the field and influence the players, but you never know. We'll see. Not a good situation right there. 15 minutes past the hour of 3 o'clock. Let's take a break. We'll come back, and we're going to talk to Noah Kaufman, who covers Northwestern for SB Nation and Inside NU, and we'll talk about what has been a year going into the season that was filled with optimism that has suddenly gone 180 degrees the wrong direction for Pat Fitzgerald in the Northwestern Wildcats. We'll do that when we come back. You're listening to The Gym Class, presented by Third Base Brewery on this Tuesday. Back with more after this on KGYM.
Before a lot of breweries knew the difference between a hop and a scotch, we were already creating our now classic beers. At Third Base Brewery, we've been refining our brews for over 20 years with perfection in every pour. And our all-your-favorites with a few surprises menu is just as tempting. That's why people always come back to gather at Third Base Brewery. After all, at Third Base, you're practically home. Stop in, Third Base Brewery, corner of Blair's Ferry Road and Sea Avenue in Cedar Rapids.
Thursday afternoon at 3. Tune in to 1600 AM, 107.5 and 106.3 FM for the Whirlpool Careers Tailgate Tour. The Gym Class will be coming to you live from Kennedy before their matchup with Burlington. This is Scott Unash, and I'll be your host alongside Mark Dukes. Countdown to kickoff with us as we chat with coaches and athletes and get you ready for high school football action. Whirlpool Careers, Iowa National Guard, and area businesses will be there too. The Whirlpool Careers Tailgate Tour, Thursday afternoon at 3 on The Gym.
2019 is going quickly. Make sure the outside of your home is well-dressed for the upcoming holiday season. A new front door from Therma-Tru makes a statement and creates a stunning entrance to your home. New siding from LP SmartSide immediately updates your curb appeal. And a new outdoor entertainment space with high-quality composite decking from TimberTech is a welcome addition. Alexander Lumber is your local resource for building materials. Visit Alexander Lumber, 4340 420th Street, or Answers by Alexander, 1534 South Gilbert Street, both in Iowa City.
Life gets real when you think about your son or daughter's future. College costs more than it used to, and careers have changed a lot too. So do you want to let your kid graduate with a mountain of debt in a tricky job market? Probably not. Consider a smarter option, Smart 263. Their apprentice program has stellar training, excellent support, and a game plan for a great-paying career without spending a dime on school. Get all the details on their apprenticeship program at smart263.org. Sheet Metal Workers 263, helping you win at the game of life.
Back with you on The Gym Class for this Tuesday here on KGYM. Game 1 of the World Series coming up tonight, 7 o'clock, as it'll be the Nationals and the Astros from Houston. We'll talk with Cal Eldred about that coming up in just a little bit. Also, coming up this weekend, it's Iowa and Northwestern as the Hawks and the Cats will go at it at Ryan Field on Saturday. And to talk some Northwestern football with us, Noah Kaufman joins us from Inside NU and covers the Wildcats for SB Nation. Kind enough to join us today. But above all that, first of all, Noah, thank you for joining us. Do appreciate it.
No problem. Thank you guys for having me.
I see on your Twitter account you are also a fine fan of the Chicago White Sox. So as a White Sox fan myself, we are ready for 2020 and 2021, right?
Oh, absolutely. I'm looking forward to this offseason with some trepidation, but also, you know, it's always weird going into an offseason like this as a White Sox fan. You know, you're hoping for the best, but expecting the worst.
I think that covers it very nicely right there.
Yeah, I know which team won the Central this year.
He's a Twins fan, man.
Hey, Noah, getting into this game, I want to start with what has been a merry-go-round, and that is the quarterback situation. Where does that stand?
It is still in a position of flux. That's sort of what happens when you have the worst passing offense in the country. Right now, it looks like it's Aiden Smith to start. He's been starting for the past 2 weeks. He has really struggled over those past 2 weeks. Now, anybody is going to struggle against Ohio State. Aiden Smith struggled worse than most. 6 for 20 for 42 yards and an interception. Not the kind of numbers you want to put up. Now, Smith certainly has the ability to put up numbers with his legs. He runs the ball very successfully. Good in the read option game, more speed than you'd expect when you look at him, but he has not been able to throw the ball well at all in his starts this season, and in the time he has seen, he's completing it at under 50% clip, and he has not completed a pass of more than 10 yards in the air since he in either of his two starts. So not a lot down the field whatsoever, and not completing a lot of his short to medium passes either, but he's the guy who Pat Fitzgerald and offensive coordinator Mick McCall have gone with over the past couple of weeks.
What happened with Hunter Johnson, who's supposed to be the five-star guy and the heir apparent?
Yeah, I mean, Hunter Johnson came on, and he was starting to start the season. He was starting as sort of a timeshare between him and redshirt senior T.J. Green to start the season. In the opener against Stanford out in Palo Alto, Green hurt his foot, and he's out for the year. So that left it kind of all on Johnson's shoulders. He had some growing pains. Was good for one or two bad decisions a game, sort of some early in his career stuff. The arm talent is apparent, though. The foot, the ability with his feet is apparent. He just hasn't quite put it all together yet. If it were my team, he'd still be starting. He has more upside, certainly, than Aiden Smith, and he has shown the ability to connect some deep throws. But they benched him a couple weeks ago to try to give somebody new a shot when the passing offense is sputtering. Tough to blame them for that. I would argue at this point it's pretty clear that it's more the scheme than anything else that is holding these quarterbacks back. Northwestern has had a very similar passing scheme for going on a decade now. Even with Clayton Thorson, you know, things didn't really roll very smoothly over these last couple of years. That game in Iowa last year, there was the one big play, but outside of that, not a lot of big passes in that game. So it's kind of the same as that, but with less experienced quarterbacks this year. And that's why we're seeing a lot of struggles, in my opinion.
Yeah, and Noah, and when you can't throw the ball, and when you do throw it, you're throwing it 5 to 6 yards. Defense comes up, and then that hurts the running game consequently. And that's kind of been the story of the offense this year for the Cats.
Precisely. That's exactly what I would say. And interestingly enough, you know, the running game has actually had its spots because the offensive line has been better than most expected it to be, replacing three starters, especially over the last couple of weeks, you know, against an Ohio State front that's one of the best in the country. And this is going to sound weird coming off a game where they got shellacked 52-3, but that Northwestern offensive line only allowed one sack. You let Chase Young get one sack in a one-on-one matchup. Can't really do anything about that. One sack to Chase Young, an all-world talent, and earned 175 non-sack rushing yards on 45 carries. Now, a lot of that was in garbage time. But this is a team that can move the ball on the run. Like you said, once it gets to be the third, fourth quarters, and teams are realizing this team is just not going to beat us over the top, the everybody starts to creep up a little bit. You get loaded boxes, and the run game just slows down, as would any run game.
Well, the defense, on the other hand, Noah, despite that outlier against Ohio State, this is a defense that the last 2 years, Northwestern's won 3 in a row against Iowa. The last two, the defense allowed Iowa 10 points, and it's guys like Patty Fisher and Joe Gaziano who have been in this game and know what to expect.
Yeah, absolutely. This is a very experienced defense at key positions, like you said, because Penny Fisher and Joe Gaziano, not only the two most experienced members of this defense, but also the two most important members of this defense. You got your middle linebacker and your redshirt senior defensive end leading pass rusher. Those are the guys that you need to step up in these kinds of games and these kinds of knock them down, drag them out Big Ten games. And like you said, they have the experience against this Iowa team specifically. This is a group that, you know, got out talented a little bit against Ohio State last week. Just beat in some crucial spots by players that were just better and faster than them for the most part. And that's going to happen. But this is a defense that is very, very good. And Iowa should be concerned about the offensive output, especially coming off of the last couple of weeks of offensive performances.
With that being said, and with Iowa's inconsistent offense, we'll just say, in 2019, you got to think this is points are going to be at a premium once again. I don't think we're really breaking any news here with an Iowa Northwestern game that could be a low scoring one.
Oh yeah, you are absolutely right. I would be surprised if this total was over 40. That sounds kind of crazy, but that's where they put it for Northwestern Michigan State. It's sort of the same here. I think they've already put it out. I didn't check on it, but it shouldn't be over 40. If it is, you should get on that under right away. These two teams are not going to score a whole lot. Wildcats have been really impressive. That front seven has been really good just in terms of plugging up holes in the run game. Not necessarily a dominant run defense, but a run defense that just isn't going to let you get anything explosive. Plugging up holes, good open field tackling, just not letting the big plays in the run game happen. And the same thing in the passing game. The safeties, Travis Willock and J.R. Pace, starting together for the second straight year now, although Willock came on down the stretch to start last season. But two juniors who have been very effective as safeties in terms of keeping everything in front of them, but also being able to come down and make big plays when they have to. So this is a team that a little bit vulnerable in the corner position, especially if senior Trey Williams is still out, which we expect him to be, although not sure yet. It's a little bit vulnerable out there against one-on-one matchups for talented receivers, but it's a very strong front seven, especially against the run, and a very strong tandem of safeties. It's just tough for teams to get anything going over the top. The Northwestern is really good at forcing teams to drag out long, time-consuming drives to score. And even when they do that, the Wildcats seemingly have a knack of not letting them score anyway, stopping them on a fourth and one forcing a long field goal that's a lot tougher to hit, stuff like that.
At 1-5, Northwestern has dug itself a hole in terms of trying to get back to another bowl game, but this is a front-loaded schedule. And from here on out, looks like largely manageable games for the Cats. Is that help the spirit?
It doesn't help the spirit of the fan base too much, I wouldn't say. 1-5 is 1-5. But I think it has managed hopes a little bit. Now, the problem is, I mean, you come to this Iowa game where you're going to be the underdog, even at home. So you kind of have to win this one. You definitely can't go to 1-6. And then after that, there's some sneaky tough games left on the schedule in Indiana and Minnesota. And the problem is, when you're a team who, like I said, I was not exaggerating when I said this is the worst passing offense in the country. This is a team averaging 4.1 yards per attempt. That's 0.7 worse than any other team. 4.1. Nobody else is lower than 4.8 this season. Nobody else has been as low as 4.1 since 2008 for a full season. That was Army, who's a triple option team. So this is historically bad passing from this team that also throws a ton of interceptions, 10 interceptions between the two quarterbacks to only 3 passing touchdowns. I mean, when you just can't beat anybody through the air, even these games against seemingly beatable opponents like Indiana, Minnesota, teams that have looked good this season but haven't really been tested, all of a sudden you're thinking, well, if we can't get anything going through the air, how are we going to beat these teams with effective offenses?
Noah Kaufman joining us here on the Tuesday edition of the Gym Class as we talk Iowa and Northwestern, which comes up on Saturday at 11 o'clock at Ryan Field. It is no mystery that Pat Fitzgerald loves beating the Iowa Hawkeyes, and he is bringing out all the stops again. I think to bringing back a former Big Ten championship team, or at least one of the Northwestern's top teams over the past handful of years anyway, to have a reunion this weekend. And Fitz has had a lot of interesting things to say in his news conferences, I know.
Yeah, it's sort of interesting. He's had less time to focus on the Iowa hate this year because he's had so many other things to say about fun subjects like technology and millennials. So he's had less to say about Iowa specifically this season. I mean, we all know his history with Hayden Fry back when Fitz was playing, It's mostly a begrudging respect, of course, now between Fitzgerald and Ferentz, but, you know, way back when, things were not exactly the same back when Fitz was playing in the 90s. So he's still carrying over some of that grudge from then. But right now he's got too much to worry about with his own team, the struggles they're having. He had a lot to say this week at this week's press conference. He called himself, he said he's Chuckles the Clown. He's having a blast. That was a reference that his former coach Randy Walker used to make a lot. He searched under the podium for a button that he could hit that would turn this team around. He didn't find it. He talked about hitting Control Alt Delete on his computer to restart things. So he's mixing up all the metaphors you can possibly find, trying to kind of throw anything at the wall and see what sticks. He has too many things to worry about. To really worry about Iowa as much as he has in the past right now.
Well, certainly the days are long gone when we could write our game stories before kickoff in this series. So it's been very, very competitive. Actually, Northwestern is 6-4 in the last 10.
Yeah,
absolutely. I mean, this has become one of the more fun rivalries in the Big Ten, I'd say, at least for these two fan bases. You know, I mean, not everybody likes these defensive slugfests that this game has sort of devolved into over time, but Northwestern, you know, has beaten some really good Iowa teams in the past 10, 12 years since Fitz became a coach. You know, seemingly whenever Northwestern's at its worst is when they beat that really good Iowa team. I think it was 2009. They knocked off a really good Hawkeye squad. There was at least one other one, maybe 2011 or 2012. I don't remember the exact year, but I remember going to just a miserable game at Ryan Field, and it was a top 20 Iowa team and a bad Northwestern team beat them. It's just sort of, you know, it's always going to be sort of, you know, whoever makes the most plays on offense out of not a lot of overall chances to make offensive plays is going to come away with it. But it seems like it's always within a possession down the stretch.
Yeah, and we'll see what happens coming up on Saturday. I also expect a low-scoring game, and points are going to be at a premium, and we'll see how it all plays out. And Noah, appreciate your time. Thank you very much. I promise when we're talking playoffs for the White Sox in the next couple of years, we will give you a call and have you on and talk about the frenzy in the Windy City.
That sounds great. Thank you very much.
Thanks. Thanks, Noah. Appreciate it. Noah Kaufman joining us, who covers Northwestern for Inside NU and SB Nation. Didn't sugarcoat things. Northwestern's passing attack is not good.
Historically bad.
Historically bad. Worse than Army. And Army doesn't throw the ball. And they tell you they're not going to throw the ball. So, different situation right there. All right, 3:31. We will take a break and come back. And we're going to talk baseball. Cal Eldred will join us from Arizona. And the Arizona Fall League and Instructional Leagues and all that fun stuff. And we will talk about the 2019 Fall Classic, which gets underway tonight, Washington and Houston, from Minute Maid Park, Game 1 in Houston. We'll do that when we return. You're listening to The Gym Class, presented by Third Base Brewery here on KGYM.
When you fire up a John Deere 1 Series tractor, you can tackle the job without wrestling the attachments. Hook up everything from a front loader to a drive-over mower deck to a backhoe without wasting any time at all, so you can haul gravel, till soil, cut grass, or do any job in between. Because when things just click, work just gets done. Nothing runs like a Deere. Run with us. Get your new John Deere at City Tractor in North Liberty or find them online at citytractor.com.
In the Army National Guard, family means everything.
Our parents, they were really supportive that all five of us would join. I got my education because of the Guard. I got to travel a little bit and experience a whole different culture. It helped me get my job, helped me pay for my house.
Serving part-time in the Army National Guard instills pride that you and your family will share. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Iowa Army National Guard, aired by the Iowa Broadcasters Association and this station.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-687-5192. That's 800-687-5192. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-687-5192.
If you're a small business owner, there's no better place to find the impact hire to help your business than LinkedIn. LinkedIn Jobs takes the time to learn more about who you're looking for and then recommends qualified candidates from their community of engaged and career-minded people, candidates who you likely won't be able to reach anywhere else. The truth is, over 70% of the U.S. workforce is on LinkedIn, and posting your job on LinkedIn gives you the best chance of finding and starting a conversation with your next star recruit. It's no surprise a new hire is made every 8 seconds using LinkedIn. So build your winning team by posting a job on LinkedIn and visit linkedin.com/sports to get $50 off your first job post. That's linkedin.com/sports for $50 off your first job post. linkedin.com/sports. Terms and conditions apply.
On a sunny but windy and cool Tuesday afternoon, we welcome you back to the Gym Class on KGYM. 1600 AM, 107.5 FM in Cedar Rapids and 106.3 FM in Iowa City. Game one of the World Series comes up tonight. We'll have it for you joining up at 7 o'clock, about 7:10, with the first pitch between the Nationals and the Houston Astros, and what should be a very fun World Series. And to talk about that and all things baseball, our friend Cal Elder joining us from a much warmer Arizona, I would imagine. It's not a 5-club wind in Arizona today, is it?
No, we had a little wind this morning, but as I was talking to my wife this morning on the phone, she's like, I don't know what's going on outside. And she said, but now everything's blowing all over the place. Yeah. So I hope you guys got things tied down back home, and I know the 100% the temperature is not the same.
No, you might have some tree work to do when you get home, Cal. You never know.
There's always work to do when I get home.
although if you had leaves down, they will be gone. That's the good news. The bad news is the neighbor's leaves are not going to be in your place.
Yeah, it's just it's an even swap.
You just hope you come out a little bit ahead on one
no
of those
questions.
Things.
Hey, Cal, I know you're loving this World Series because of the pitching aspect, and the World Series has been going on a long time, but I don't know that at least the first couple, three games, there have been better pitching matchups. Would you agree?
I would totally agree. And it's kind of, you know, it's been fun for a former starting pitcher to watch the starting pitching, the way guys have gone deep into games. It's something that in our game today, you hear more and more about how we need to have a short leash on our starting pitchers, but the quality of the starting pitchers with these teams are proving why they're in the playoffs and why they're in the World Series. When you have Verlander and Cole and you flip it over to the other side and you have Scherzer and it's just you just look at what they've been able to do and Corbin and you know they've been able to go deep into games, which allows for the bullpens to not be overexposed. And that's been the key to how these teams have won these series.
In game one, you've got Garrett Cole against Max Scherzer. Their stories are well known. I want to ask you about Garrett Cole, who has been a good pitcher all along, but what's gone particularly right for him this year? He hasn't lost since the price of a bag of popcorn was $1.50.
Well, you're right. I think he has leaving Pittsburgh, and I'm not saying Pittsburgh did anything wrong with Garrett. Garrett was a guy who they were trying to rein in and use. He used his two seamer quite a bit, used his slider in Pittsburgh. He gets to Houston, uses his four-seamer a little bit more. But I think there's something that, that helped him a lot was the fact that when Verlander came over to Houston, when he was there, with Verlander on the staff, Garrett didn't have to be the guy. It's just like Greinke doesn't have to be the guy on the staff, the ace. And it was able to – Garrett was able to relax, learn, and now he's gained that confidence, that ultimate confidence that he is a good pitcher and he should dominate hitters. He always – you could tell even when he was in Pittsburgh, he thought that. And so he had the makings of what he is right now, even at a young age in the big leagues. And now I think you're just coupling it with confidence. You see him sitting with Maldonado, who we had in Kansas City for most of the year. And I know Martin really works hard on game planning. And so you see those two guys getting together. And even if it's Chirinos that will catch him tonight, I doubt it will probably be Maldonado. His game plan is really something that he can execute.
Mark brought up a very good point earlier on, Cal, and he asked, you know, with all this great starting pitching, are we going to see some complete games? Are we going to see pitchers maybe go deeper, or are we going to see what's transpired in 2019 baseball? You get to a certain number of pitches, and no matter how well you're doing, you're coming out. Things have changed since the 2005 White Sox threw four complete games. But I don't. It's a valid point too. I mean, do you if Scherzer's rolling along through seven, do you take him out?
I don't think you do. I think you send him back out. I think you because if you get that far, and he's rolling along. So in other words, he's probably only given up two runs maybe at that point in time, and there's a chance that you're in a 2-1 or a 2-2 or a 3-2 ball game. And then it comes simply down to, is there a guy in the bullpen that if he gets into trouble, is there a guy in the bullpen that matches up significantly with one of the Houston hitters? The same can be said true if it's Gerrit Cole who's dealing, and is there a matchup in the bullpen that really, really, is on the side of the Houston Astros. So to me, I think you keep them going because if you guys remember, the guy I think about all the time is when it comes to the playoffs is Andy Pettitte for the New York Yankees.
Mm-hmm.
He was a guy who could give up two or three in the first, and the next thing you know, the guy's thrown a complete game or he's in the eighth. And now what happens is you don't overexpose your bullpen. And even though, you know, teams have, you know, the example from the opposite side is the Yankees against Houston, where a couple of their pitchers were cruising along pretty good, and all of a sudden they get pulled. They just get pulled because of a matchup, even though I thought they still had pretty good stuff. But that is the way that 2019 baseball is being done.
Which team has the better bullpen in your mind, Cal?
I think Houston has a better bullpen in my mind, even though the guys that Washington went to did the job. And Rainey has really changed has elevated the bullpen for the Nationals. He brings it up to closer to an even battle.
Cal Elder joining us from Arizona as we talk about the 2019 World Series here at 3:42 on the Tuesday edition of the Gym Class on KGYM. We talked about the pitching quite a bit. You take a look at the lineups. And first of all, let's go back to the clinching game for Houston. That was about as good and glorious one inning of baseball that you're going to find with all the ups and the downs. And then Jose Altuve comes through in a big way to win the pennant for the Astros. That was great for baseball. Too bad it was like at 12:15 in the morning.
Mm. Yeah, it sort of reminded me of a game in 2004. That I was a part of down in Houston when Pujols hit the home run, and it's being a game five, but that kind of stuff, you just can't replace that. That's just watching it and going through those emotions. It's very hard to explain when you're on one of those teams and you're hearing you're going up and down in almost the same fashion as the fans. But as a player, you look back and man, you're really glad you're a part of it. And as a fan, you're just glad that you got a chance to watch it.
Cal, I was in analyzing this matchup. I think you've got obviously the experienced team, been there, done that in the Houston Astros with Altuve and Springer and so many others. And then I think what is the hot team, the wild card team that has never been there before. You got players that have been, but is that a big factor?
I think there is. I think the first thing you really fall to is that, well, the experienced team has the advantage, but yet you realize the Washington Nationals in their wild card game against the Milwaukee Brewers, that game changed in literally 6 minutes. Mm-hmm. It looked like the Nationals were going to go home, and it looked like they were going to once again have a playoff huge disappointment, and it switched so quickly for them. And they've lived through that. And now I think you see the Nationals team, who is a hot team, like you said, Mark, but they're also playing like they've got nothing to lose. And you're playing nothing, like you've got nothing to lose with Scherzer, Strasburg, and Corbin as your mm-hmm. top three. And Anibal Sanchez, who has been throwing the ball extremely well. And a bullpen that when you get deep enough in a game, if you can keep it to just three or four guys, it's a solid bullpen. So it can go either way, but I'm going to tell you that the thing that I keep going back to with Houston is that team has a killer instinct, and that's tough to beat.
It is, and you can make a pretty good argument, I think, Cal, that since the last 4 months of the season, these may be the two best teams in the league, in each of the respective leagues, because you take away the start after Memorial Day, the Nationals were just off the charts good after they were 12 games under 500 at one point. And then, of course, Houston has just been neck and neck with the Yankees for the best record in the American League throughout 2019. But, you know, you can make a pretty good case for these are the best two teams that are meeting in the World Series.
Well, I think so. I think that the Washington Nationals, once they won the wild card game, and you could see that I thought the Dodgers would probably win. I really did. I thought that this was their time to get over the hump, but Washington did the hard stuff against the Dodgers, and they were really tenacious, and they played the baseball that has made them the team that has been so successful since they were 12 games under 500. So I agree with you, Scott. There's no doubt. And with the starting pitching with the Houston Astros, the lineup that they have, the damage that they can do from the top to the bottom. And when Maldonado's getting bunt base hits, things are going your way.
Casual baseball fans are going to be introduced to guys like Anthony Rendon tonight and
Juan Soto.
These are not your average players, Cal.
I know they're not. And Rondon's going to be introduced to a very large contract at the end of the season or once the World Series is over with. But you know what? He's the epitome of a guy who loves to just play the game of baseball. I know people that have known him, been around him, and he doesn't need all the flash and the flair excuse me, of the game of baseball, but he loves to just play the game. And then these young kids in Soto and Robles with the Washington Nationals, man, they are young players that are extremely good players, and those guys love to play the game at a high level too.
Who do you think's going to win?
I knew this question was coming. We've been discussing it down here as a coaching staff quite a bit. The players, I was just talking to a bunch of young instructional league kids, and they were like, they're like, hey, coach, you know, tell us who's going to win. And I just feel like if Scherzer can win tonight, if they can find a way to beat Cole, they being the Washington Nationals, I think they have a much better chance to win. And I know that sounds pretty obvious, but they've got to learn, they've got to beat Cole at least one time to win this series. And it would be best if they did it tonight in Houston. If they can do that, then they've got a chance. But man, I'll tell you what, it's hard to go against the prediction that I started out with. I still think Houston will probably come out on top.
Mark,
I'm going to go the Nationals. I think you mentioned the pitching, Cal. I think every bit Houston's equal in many respects, or close to it anyway. It's how these young guys perform, and it's going to be a situation or two where, say, a Yan Gomes hits a home run or something like that. But I like the momentum that Washington has. Houston has a target on its back, fully capable of taking care of that. But I'm going to go to the Nationals in either 6 or 7.
He's going Nationals. I'm with Cal. I think it's going to be a great World Series. But I think that Houston having the edge as far as experience is concerned and having the home field advantage, I think ultimately is going to get them their second championship. You can't go wrong with either team, though. They're both fun to watch, and I hope people tune in, and I hope baseball takes the headlines.
Wait, I'm an American League guy, and I took a National League team.
I know you did.
I'm going to go Nats.
I'm really questioning that choice, but but I'm telling you, Scott, you're exactly right. And Mark, I can easily see how you choose the Washington Nationals because they are the hot team. They're playing like they've got nothing to lose, and you know they are rested too, and they're hungry.
True. Yeah, but I think it's going to be fun. I think it's going to be a very, very good World Series.
Hopefully we'll still be talking about it next Tuesday.
I hope so.
Yeah.
I hope
That'd be great. I do. I wanted to see this thing go 6 or 7 games. That would be extremely entertaining.
It would be. And you're in Arizona. What you doing down there? What are some of your duties right now with the Royals?
Well, we have our instruction league started about mid September because most of about the third week of September, and those are kids. A lot of our younger players, kids that have been in rookie leagues, some guys in A ball that didn't may have missed some time. They came down. They come down here, and that's our regular instruction league. They play about 3 games, 4 games a week. Get a lot of instruction, a lot of individual work. And that is ending here in about another day or two. And then we have 2 different camps that we call Crown Club 1 and Crown Club 2. And that's the Crown Club 2 group is a group that was drafted a couple years ago of pitchers that are kind of in that A-ball, double-A area. And we're going over a lot of things with them on how to be professionals and pitching and game planning. And we're doing that with both of those Crown Club groups. So it's great. I love player development. So I'm down here watching all these guys and trying to encourage not only the players, but the coaches that we're getting better. We're getting better as an organization. And hopefully that means more wins in Kansas City.
Very good. Very good stuff. And I wanted to mention this as well before we let you go today. Baseball America came out with an article at the end of last week talking about the new contract.
Yeah, yeah.
That there could be some sweeping changes. Not saying that they're going to be, but at least that has been discussed a little bit. Could see contraction of some minor league teams. Just the minor leagues getting smaller. I don't know. Is that something that's coming down the line, you think? Or have you heard rumblings? Or what do you think about it?
I have heard a few rumblings about it, and it's not a real appealing, to be honest with you, for us teams that don't have the revenue to go out and purchase free agents and to stay around that $208 million threshold. We've got to operate more around the $100 million for a payroll to compete, so that means we have to, through our player development, develop players and develop big leaguers and trade minor leaguers for the guy we need or two in the big leagues and develop starting pitching. And it's harder to do that when you have fewer players. And so it's not something that I got to be honest, not something I'm real excited about hearing. But the game of baseball is changing, and there's not much we're going to be doing about it.
I hope that's an airplane. Back there. Sound like a fighter jet behind you, but anyway.
You guys can probably tell I'm close to an Air Force base.
Yes, I know exactly where you are.
Yep.
All right. Well, bring some of that warmer weather back with you when you come back up to Iowa.
I'll do my best, and I know the farmers want it to quit raining so they can get everything out of the field, too. So I'll try to bring this nice dry heat back.
There you go. Thanks, Cal. Hey, we'll talk with you next week, and always enjoy talking baseball with you.
You bet. Thanks, guys. Enjoy the baseball this week.
You bet. Cal Elder joining us from Arizona as we talk with him about the 2019 World Series here at 354.
Chance again for you to weigh in on the poll question regarding the World Series at KGYMRadio.com, brought to you by Emil's Hideaway. Who wins the World Series? Will it be Houston or Washington in 4 or 5, or either of those teams in 6 or 7? That represents 4 choices. Go ahead and vote, KGYMRadio.com.
And we'll let you know the results throughout local programming here today. We're going to have audio coming up during local programming from Kirk Ferentz and players from down in Iowa City. Perhaps Matt Campbell as well from over in Ames as Iowa State gets ready for Oklahoma State. I want to remind you the gym has partnered with Fairfax State Savings Bank to bring you KGYM's Community MVP. If your organization has a charity or fundraising event coming up, we want to help you get the word out. Please submit your information at least 60 days prior to your event. If selected, your event will be featured on the air and online. Go to KGYMRadio.com and click on Community MVP to get things started. We'll take a break, come back, and wrap up this Tuesday edition of the Gym Class right after this on KGYM.
All right, it's time for some straight talk. You wouldn't pay $100 for seats to a baseball game where you can get the same seats for $50. So why pay more on your wireless when you can get the same 4G LTE networks for up to half the cost? For $45 a month, get our unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high-speed data from Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, only at Walmart.
Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-687-5192. That's 800-687-5192. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-687-5192.
It's happening. Wherever plays are being made, tickets are being sold, and fans are lining up, ADP is designing a better way to work. With industry-leading HR, talent, time, benefits, and payroll, more companies rely on ADP than any other HR partner to help step up their game. From small business to global enterprise, see how ADP can help you and your people achieve what you're working for at design.adp.com. ADP, always designing for people.
Back with you on the Gym Class here at KGYM for this Tuesday. Coming up tomorrow, we're going to talk a little bit of Oklahoma State football as Oklahoma State and Iowa State will meet up on Saturday at homecoming. That will be over in Ames. And Chris Liss of RotoWire.com will also be joining us. Plus, we will also have a Bowling Night in America preview Have you been asked to participate yet in Bowling Night in America?
Negative.
Okay. Well, I know that one person on our team is searching, or was searching as of last report, for someone to fill in on Bowling Night in America.
Perhaps we'll have an update tomorrow.
I don't know if he had contacted you or not, because you are off tomorrow, correct?
That is correct.
Okay. Very good. Not very good that you're off, but... We need five in this new system, Mark. We need five. That's all I'm saying about it. And I've said it many, many times. Of course, World Series gets underway tonight. But also, and I've said before, they are the smartest organization among the professional sports. You know who else kicks off their season tonight?
I do indeed.
Taking headlines away from Major League Baseball all day.
Two games in the NBA tonight, including defending champion Toronto at home.
Toronto opening up, getting rings against the Zionless New Orleans Pelicans.
Yeah, about that.
It looked good on paper 2 months ago. And then the Lakers and the Clippers. Always throw LeBron in there. I've said many times, NBA is not a dumb organization, folks. Every time football or baseball or hockey has a big day, the NBA takes center stage somehow.
They occasionally say some stupid things.
Now,
but
that is
aside
true.
From that, tomorrow, Cleveland, Tyler Cook's new team, opens at Orlando, and the big guys in Cleveland are a little banged up. We'll see if Tyler Cook plays in an NBA game, which a lot of folks out there thought would never happen.
True. Very true. And we'll see how that all plays out coming up tomorrow. Don't forget, go to KGYMradio.com and vote in the Emil's Hideaway poll about the World Series, which gets underway tonight. You're sticking with the Nats.
I am.
I'm sticking with 7 games for the Houston Astros. More baseball talk coming up. Also hear from Kirk Ferentz and players during the Todd Brummel Camp show with Alex Kuhn. That comes your way next right here on KGYM. Thank you for joining us. We will join you and talk again with you tomorrow at 3.
GYM Cedar Rapids, 1600 AM, 106.3 and 107.5 FM, KCIA HD3 and 4, Cedar Rapids, Iowa City.